Let's please to Romans chapter 8. If I could help have several men help me, that would be nice. I'm not going to give any of this Tom fella. I think he was helping Lois, wasn't he? Here, Tom. Romans chapter 8, please. From now on, I'll give her a crooked one every time. All right, let's all stand, please. I'm glad you're here tonight. I hope you're ready to preach. I think everything's out of whack tonight. Rick asked me tonight if I was going to be ready to preach after this morning, and I said, I don't know. I want to say this before I read this. One of the best things that happens to me when I go to a foreign country is it forces me to do something that you would never think of as a layperson. You have to ask yourself this question: will what I preach in other countries? And you as a Christian need to ask, will what I believe work in other countries? When you get in a third world country, all this little silliness that we talk about, well, you know, God led me to quit this job and to take this job. When I was in the far north of the Philippines in La Union, I went to a church that Brother Nelson is starting up there, and got to the church, and the people walked. None of this goofball stuff of, you know, we have three in the family, we drive three cars. They walked there, and when they got there, probably 80% of them, or more than 90%, were women and kids. And at first I thought, well, I wonder what's wrong with the men. Somebody tell me where the men were. Working in other countries. Right, Noel? So a lot of the silliness that we preach in America is just doesn't work in other countries. And then you start realizing what we're preaching is not Christian. It's American. So tonight, I'm not going to be mean, but I'm going to say some things, and I've said to some of them before, that frankly are contrary to American thinking. Because most Americans think that God, everybody look up here now, has given them an OnStar program. That when they get saved, they have an OnStar program where basically they get wealthy. They have everything they ever wanted. But the moment you get outside of this country, you see how silly that is. So tonight we're going to look at the subject of the leading of the Holy Spirit. As silly as this sounds, we're going to focus on two words. Actually, one word found two places. And if you get these two words, you'll never look at this. It'll be impossible to ever look at this passage the same again. Romans 8, we'll start in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. And he's not talking about skin, folks. He's talking about our fallen sinful nature. To live after that fallen sinful nature, our flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. If you are controlled and live your life according to the flesh, you're going to die. And he's not talking about physical death. But if you through the Spirit, by means of the power of the Spirit, indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Here is that word. Are you ready for it? Notice the first word. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15, the same word. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. An Aramaic form of the word Abba, and in pater, the Greek word for father. The Spirit itself, or in our case, in modern English, himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. I'm going to talk about the leading of the Spirit. Now, everyone hear me. And this is not an American sermon. I can preach this any place in the world. You don't realize that when you preach certain kind of sermons and you get to another country, you think, I just can't say that here. This leading of the Spirit, I can preach any place because this is what the Bible is talking about when it talks about, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. And it's not talking about an OnStar program that God leads you to McDonald's tonight as opposed to Burger King. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank You for this time and I thank You for Your Word. May tonight we seal these truths in our lives. And Lord, I know 5-6 years ago I dealt with this one night to some degree. Tonight I go back through it and add more and dig it deeper, I hope. So at least many of the folks that are here are faithful on a Sunday night will understand what it means to be led by Your Spirit. Help us tonight, Lord. We ask to hear. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Somebody moved my water. I do think Tom was up here messing around now. I was a young man here at Great Lakes Naval Hospital. Actually, I was stationed at the Hospital Corps School in 1975. One day I was going to chow or going to eat. And as I walked to eat, I can still remember where I was. And if you've been down on the Naval Hospital side from the Hospital Corps School, you go across the bridge going towards the Naval Hospital, and we'd eat in the basement where they had the chow hall where you ate. As I was crossing the bridge, I saw a guy that I had met. He was in another class. And we started talking, and we walked all the way on up to eat. And then after we ate, we came back, and I remember we stopped on that bridge and talked. I found out he was a Christian. And it was exciting to meet somebody that was a Christian. I was struggling as a Christian at that time, and it was nice to meet somebody. So we talked. And then he started telling me a story. He told me one of the great stories I ever heard. And I can't get into the story because I don't remember it. It was just, I remember how much I liked it. He said, Ralph, let me tell you how the Holy Spirit led me. And by the way, when he said that term, I had never heard it before. As a Christian where I grew up, I never heard about the Holy Spirit leading someone in that way. So I'm just like all ears. He said, I needed to go to California to do something. And I'm in the middle of school and there was no way I could go to California. So he said, the Holy Spirit led me to the right person. And I went up to this person and I asked them for permission. They gave me permission, so the Holy Spirit led me to the right person. And he said, I didn't have any money. So the Holy Spirit led me to some people that gave me the money. And he went on and on. And by this time, I'm a young guy. I'm 18 years old. I don't know the Bible. I don't know much about Scripture. And my eyes are this big. I had never heard of the Holy Spirit leading you to the right person, leading you to money, leading you to get the days off, leading you to go to California. He went through this whole thing for like an hour, telling me how the Holy Spirit led him to all these places. When he got done with this, I wanted whatever he had. Let me just put it short terms in the year 2005. I wanted my own OnStar program, where I could push a button that says, turn right at the next intersection. I wanted that. And when I had a problem, I'm thinking, this is exciting. Well, unfortunately, my excitement for this guy did not last. Because I found out a little bit later, the Holy Spirit had failed to lead him not to curse. And the Holy Spirit had failed to lead him not to beat up his girlfriend. And the Holy Spirit had failed to lead him not to get his girlfriend pregnant before they were married. So all of a sudden, folks, are y'all with me? I know there's shit. Look up here. All of a sudden, all this leading of the Holy Spirit, I'm like, I don't understand. If you say you're a Christian and you say God's leading you, how it can lead you to California, but He doesn't lead you not to have sex with your girlfriend before marriage. Well, I ask a question in your notes. How does the Holy Spirit lead us? What is the primary meaning of being led by the Spirit in Romans 8:14? Is this not a good question? By the way, read the verse with me again, would you please, carefully. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. By the way, if you turn this around, that means if you're not led by the Spirit of God. So this is a serious matter, whatever it means. So what does it mean? What we're going to do from this passage and several others is we're going to look at the Spirit of God and see what the Spirit of God does. Well, first of all, as I say in your notes, the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of God. So as the Spirit of God, this is the primary purpose and work of the Spirit of God. He leads us to God. Doesn't that make sense to you? Well, let's look at the verse. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And I have in your notes these two words, the word "for" and the word "for," in 8:14 and 8:15 keep coming up. They kept getting in my way whenever I read this text, those two little words. And this is what we come by this. I have in your notes, first of all, in 8:14, this is true of all Christians, not only super Christians. So whatever else this means, if you're a Christian, the Spirit of God leads you in whatever this means. But if the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God, obviously the Spirit of God leads us to God into some sort of a relationship. Then we come next in your notes. I say in number two, the first word of Romans 8:15 is what? Okay, folks, you got to be with me. The first word of Romans 8:15 is what? So here you have it. Look up here. You have a statement. The next word in Romans 8:15 is the word "for," which explains 8:14. So whatever this leading of the Holy Spirit means, it is explained in verse 15. Well, what does verse 15 say? He says, "For ye have not," he's explaining what it means to be led by the Spirit, "you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." So I say in your notes, the first word of Romans 8:15, the word "for," is an explanation of 8:14. I put that funny Greek word in there, the word "gar." Do you know what the word "gar" means? For. So you say, "Pastor Warren, does God, the Holy Spirit, lead you?" Yes, the Holy Spirit leads us to the Father. I have in your notes, the Holy Spirit helps us come to know God as Father. We call that adoption. Where our relationship with God is no longer guilt or fear or horror, not as a stepchild, but as God's intimate child. And that's how the Holy Spirit leads us. Folks, look up here. The Holy Spirit's not the spirit of silliness. It's not the spirit of getting more money. He's the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of God, leads us to God. So we have a relationship with Him. Look at me. I can remember being in chapel at a Christian college and hearing the preaching and one day coming across this verse and realizing, you look at me, everything I'm hearing from the pulpit is unbiblical because they're motivating us by guilt and they're trying to make us feel guilty. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. If you're saved, if God has saved you by His grace, and the Spirit of God indwells you, He doesn't lead us into a relationship of guilt. And by the way, the whole Hiles Anderson group, that's the game they play. You don't have to like what I'm saying. It's a fact. And they beat you up and they beat you down and they run you. And all of a sudden you realize, I'm not doing what I'm doing because of my relationship with God. I'm doing what I'm doing out of guilt. I got news for you. You don't motivate me through guilt. When I got saved, and when I understood this passage, and I started to mature, my relationship with God is one of intimacy, not guilt, not terror, not fear, not manipulation, and I will not go or be around anybody that tries to manipulate me. Say, why? Would you do me a favor and read that verse one more time? I think it's in the Bible. For ye have not received the spirit of what? I know people that feel like they're under bondage all the time. They're under burden. They're worn out. Like something's wrong. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. I mean, this comes from a relationship with God. Well, we go back to the text. Romans 8:5. I want you to notice this passage, and you can write this in your notes and then we'll read it. It speaks of two different kinds of people. And by the way, there are two kinds of people. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." One kind of person, by the way, is controlled by their fallen, sinful nature. And that's what they think about, that's what they do. But they that are after the Spirit, they mind, they are consumed with the things of the Spirit. So the passage clearly teaches there's two kinds of people. Those that are after the flesh, that's now, I'm not talking about just this. I'm talking about they're controlled by their fallen human nature, and those that are controlled by the Spirit of God, those who the Spirit of God indwells. Romans 8:6. He says, "For to be carnally minded, otherwise to be of a mind of the flesh." Remember, carnal, flesh, same concept, same Greek words, "is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." I have in your notes, in Romans 8:6, we see there are two kinds of minds, or mindsets. A person that's unsaved is controlled and dominated by their fallen, sinful nature, and their whole way of looking at the world is one way. A person that's been saved and the Spirit of God dwells in, they are controlled by the Spirit of God, and the way they look at the world is another way. Oh, look up here, folks. I'm sorry to tell you this, there aren't three kinds. We have developed in Christianity where we act like there's a middle ground. You know, there's those who are of the Spirit, and then there's those who are of the flesh, and then we got this kind in the middle. Paul doesn't give you a middle. There is no middle. You're either someone the Spirit of God dwells in, and you're then controlled and directed by the Spirit, or you're on the other side and you're not controlled by the Spirit. You're controlled by your flesh, your sinful human nature, and that's what you think about, that's where you go, that's what you do. There's two kinds of people. You all with me? There's two kinds of minds. Period. Romans 8:7. Look in your Bibles. "Because the carnal mind," this fleshly mind, meaning controlled by your fallen, sinful human nature, "is enmity against God." Wow. "For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh," this is not talking about that old silliness I used to hear, "you're walking in the flesh." It's talking about two kinds of people. Look up here. You're either in the Spirit or you're in the flesh. You're either unsaved or you're saved. You're either controlled by the way the unsaved man is controlled, or you're controlled by the Spirit. There's two kinds of people, two kinds of minds, and there's two kinds of outcomes. I have in your notes, the one kind of mind is at odds with God. That's just the way I'm going to say it. It's at odds with God. It does not and cannot please God. By the way, that's strong. Everybody look up here. Do you understand an unsaved person not only does not please God, an unsaved person cannot please God? Does not have the ability. You say, why? You can only please God if the Spirit of God allows you and enables you to do so. So you have a whole group of people on earth that they do not please God and they cannot please God. Their whole mindset is against God. Then you have another set. You say, well, it saved people. The Spirit of God indwells. The Spirit of God gives a new way of looking at the world. The Spirit of God enables them to please God. Those are the two kinds of people. Oh, by the way, this preaches every place, because this is the way the world is. There's only two kinds of people. In your notes, in Romans 8:9, we'll read that first. Paul says very clearly, "But ye are not in the flesh," meaning you are not dominated by your fallen, sinful human nature, "but you're in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." There's only two kinds of people. I say in your notes, the Holy Spirit indwells believers, which means we can know God, we can obey God, and we can know we know God. We have assurance of this. So how does the Spirit of God lead us? As the Spirit of God, He leads us to God. Read the verses with me. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us His Spirit. The Spirit Himself," or itself, "beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, not slaves, not people that are beat up and beat down and worn out and abused and trampled on and guilt-ridden. No. Heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together." We move on to the second point. not only is how the Spirit leads us, as the Spirit of God, He leads us to God, but as the Spirit of holiness, He leads us into holiness. I ask a question in your notes, what is the most common name of the Holy Spirit? But I just gave it away. What's the most common name of the Spirit of God? The Holy Spirit, or in the King James it says Holy Ghost, which is fine. What's the emphasis, folks? Isn't it interesting, people that are talking about, God led me to this job, God led me to this car, God led me to this grocery store, they never talk about, God led me to be holy. When the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of holiness. And He's going to lead you to be holy. That is the Spirit's job. Romans 1:4 in your notes. We'll come back to those verses in a moment. It says, and He declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. Look at the verse, Romans 8:14. By the way, Romans 8:14 begins with what word? I know this is boring, folks. When you see the word far, you would assume it's trying to explain what? What came right before it. So when it says, for as many as are led, He's trying to describe what's going on in verse 12 and 13. Read verse 12 and 13 for me. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, not to our fallen human nature to live after that. For if you lived after that fallen human nature, your flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit... Did you hear that? Through the Spirit, do what? Mortify means to put to death. If you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are... He's going on to explain that the Spirit of God leads us to put to death that fallen, sinful human nature. Simply stated, I have in your notes, how can I know the Spirit of God is leading me? I would ask a simple question. Am I becoming more holy? Now let me give my testimony, might I? As a young Christian, I used to love to hear about sermons on leading. When I was in this church back in the 70s and early 80s, Pastor Hill would preach and I would take, man, I'd have my notebook out. I wanted to know how to make decisions because what I wanted to do was live the American dream. See, some of us are confused with the American dream with Christianity. So we think the leading of the Spirit is God leads us to be happy and have money and have stuff. And I'd listen to this stuff, I'd take notes. And I was reading the Bible as a young Christian. I came across these two ugly verses in your Bible. I mean, in your notes. Do you like these verses? Let's read them. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Do you know the verse? For this is even your... By the way, sanctification, holiness, all the same concept, all the same word. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. You say, well, Pastor, I'm pretty good there. Well, let's see if you're pretty good the whole way. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That means, look, folks, the Spirit of God, the will of God for you and me is to learn how to control this thing. I don't know about you this morning. Dietmar is so nice. Well, I was convicted the whole Sunday school. I'm not going back. When he said something about the checkbook, and when we have money in the checkbook, that means that's how much we have to... I'm like, would you quit preaching, Dietmar? Can I tell you something, folks? The will of God is your sanctification. And part of that is you learn to control. You say, Pastor, that's not what I mean by the leading of the Spirit. I want God to lead me to a better job. No, God's going to lead you to holiness. Learning to be a separated Christian unto God. Learning to control yourself. Pastor, can we go on to another sermon? This is not the kind of... Well, by the way, this is what the Spirit of God does. Oh, by the way, Spirit of God does this in the Philippines where they don't have anything. Does this in Venezuela when they don't have anything. Does this in Romania where they don't have anything. But the Spirit of God leads American Christians to have more stuff. I think not. How about this verse? I didn't like this from either the last one. In everything give thanks for this is... In everything, Lord... For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How about this one? This is one of those nice verses. How many of you know Psalm 23? Everybody look up here. Let's quote the first line. The Lord is my... I shall not want. What's the second line? Can I ask you a question? Did you ever hear what you just said? Look at me. Did you hear what you just... He what? See, you read over that. This is one of those warm little fuzzy things. The Lord is so... Did you hear He... Listen, I don't know about you, but when somebody makes me do something, that means that's not what I want to do. Now, I could get into Hebrew and tell you this is a hifil, which means it's causative, which means the Lord makes us. You know what? The Lord's leading is making us go contrary to that fallen human nature. He makes us go places we don't want to go. And by the way, and if the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in you, where do you go? Wherever you want to. Into all kinds of strange things. You wander all over the place. But if the Spirit of God leads in you, and the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Wow. That wasn't what I had in mind, Pastor Warren. I wanted to have fun. By the way, let's look at the next passage I have in your notes. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's a wonderful verse, isn't it? But notice what else it says. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. Would you leave those rods and staffs out of this, Lord? By the way, you know, we have these warm, romantic feelings that the Lord is a shepherd, and He just comes and... By the way, some of us are like our dog we have at home. We pop up on the Lord's lap and we want to pet Him. And the Lord pets us sometimes, and sometimes He uses the rod and the staff. You say, why? Because He's got things in mind other than you just being comfortable. He wants to lead you into holiness, to be like Him. That's the Lord's goal. That's what He's going to do. Well, read this passage with me in your notes. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. We as believers, we who have the Spirit, with whom the Spirit of God indwells and empowers and enables, we are debtors not to the flesh, our fallen human nature, to live after that. Of course not. For if you live after the flesh, by the way, ye shall die, even if you say you're a Christian. By the way, if you live, meaning you live your life after the flesh, it demonstrates you're not a Christian. That's the whole point. But if you through the Spirit, you're led by the Spirit, to mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. I say in your notes, according to this text, there are two kinds of people. You'll have to turn to the next page. One kind are controlled by their fallen human nature. They're controlled by their fleshly nature. Another kind puts that nature to death. They put that nature to death. And they alone are Christians. And they know it. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When a person realizes when they got saved, the Spirit of God indwells them, and the Spirit of God starts leading them, not leading them, folks, hear me, not leading them to better places to eat food. Oh, the Lord led me to this parking place. I always say this and people get mad at me. Well, I prayed for this parking place and the Lord led me there. Most of you need to be led to a parking place at least 2 miles from the place so you get some exercise. So I'm sure it's not the Lord leading you. Hear me. But can I be honest with you, folks? I don't have a problem with the Lord leading you to a parking place as long as you're also telling me the Lord's leading me to be more like Him. Hello? The Lord's leading me to be holy. The Lord's leading me to control my body. The Lord's leading me to be thankful. If you're saying those things, then I'm all for it. But if all you're talking about is the Lord's leading me to have more stuff, I think we're missing it. I say it again. One kind are controlled by their fallen human nature. Another kind puts that nature to death. And they, it's what Paul says, folks. He says, for if you live after the flesh, after that fallen human nature, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, not on your own, an unsaved man can't do this, but through the Spirit do put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. By the way, and if you don't do that, you're not a believer. So another kind puts that nature to death, and they alone are Christians, and they know it. I say in your notes, the Spirit of holiness, from my perspective, not from mine, from the Bible perspective, will first of all make us more aware of our lack of holiness. Everyone look up here. I'm going to do something. I don't normally do things like this in here. I'm going to try to get some of you awake. Hold your children. If I turned out every room in this, every light in this place, you wouldn't see very much. You couldn't tell if it was dark. You couldn't tell if it was dirty in here. You couldn't tell if it was dusty. What's the first thing you want to do if you want to find out if the room is dirty? Turn the lights off? The first thing you do is what? You turn the lights on. You turn the lights on, and you start looking around, and guess what you find? By the way, some of you don't have a clue whether where you live or anything about you is dusty. Have Cheryl Harris follow you around for a while. I don't even want Cheryl near my office. You say, why? She sees dust in places I didn't even know the places existed. I'm going to say something, folks. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, one of the primary characteristics you know that you're being led by the Spirit is you're growing, hear me, in holiness. But the funny thing about that is you generally feel like you're less holy because, hear me, the light's on. You see everything. You see things you never saw before. When the lights are not on, when the Spirit of God's not shining the light and saying, what's that? Things are pretty... Read these verses with me. There's lots of these in the Bible. Every time somebody sees the Lord, you know this happens physically. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And the publican, I love this text, you know, the Pharisee and the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, the Spirit of God, of holiness will make us more aware of our lack of holiness, and then He will lead us to more holiness, to higher levels of godliness. He'll lead us to quit things that we never thought of giving up, and do things we never thought of doing. That's what the Spirit does. So, everyone look at me. What's the Spirit of God do? Number one, as the Spirit of God, He leads us to God. Hear me. Not a relationship of guilt and terror and horror, but a relationship of, I'm part of God's family. When I witness to somebody, it's not that I'm being beaten to death. It's what I want to do. My goodness, I'm one of God's children. Why wouldn't I want that person to be? But the Spirit of God also leads me to come in grips with this body of mine and my sinful nature. And by means of the Spirit, I can start to put this to death and get this under control and control this body. And yes, sometimes I will see more. One more thing before I go on. Have you ever experienced it? You're in your house. Ladies, you've probably done this. And the sun will be shining outside and you'll pull up the shade. And the light comes through, and what do you see in the air? And then you go, you don't want to breathe that stuff. Can I tell you something? The closer you get to the Lord, the more stuff you see, not the less stuff. Common. Number three, as the Spirit of truth, He leads us into truth. Read these texts with me carefully, please. Because the carnal mind, by the way, carnal and flesh, same words in Greek, same meaning in English. Carnal means fleshly. The carnal mind is enmity against God. You see, an unsaved person with a mind dominated by their fallen, sinful nature, it is not subject to the law of God. But this is the hard part. Neither indeed can be. You say, apart from the Spirit of God, they cannot possibly have any kind of relationship with God or any ability to obey God. So then they that are in the flesh, controlled by their fallen human nature, cannot please God. Paul says the same thing in 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He receiveth not, for their foolishness unto him, neither can, that's ability, folks, he know them, because they are spiritually discerned, or we could say discerned by the Spirit. That's the idea. Every once in a while, somebody will ask me this question. Pastor, how does it feel to be colorblind? In fact, it's my own son, and I like John most of the time. He messed with me last night about being colorblind. We were walking, and I don't know, we got off on how our vision was, and he said, well, at least I can see color. Now, just be blunt, folks. I'll tell you, first of all, your eyes don't feel, so I don't know how it feels. Your eyes see. But can I tell you something, folks? I've never seen color. You are born this way. So I see some colors. I mean, my brother sees white, gray, and black. Now, I see a bunch of colors. They're not always the right ones, but I do see them. And if don't come up and ask me what color is this, because I'm not going to tell you. I see some colors, and some colors I don't. And there's some colors I'm pretty sure that those colors don't exist. Don't come up to me and talk to me about fuchsia. I am convinced that fuchsia is not a color, folks. It's a communist plot, but that's another question. But hear me, folks. Look at me. You see your children, and you wonder why your children can come to church week after week after week and not get it? Hear me. They don't get it. It's not that they don't hear words. They just don't understand it. They're unsaved. An unsaved person does not, hear me, and cannot until the Spirit of God opens their eyes. Until they are saved. A colorblind person doesn't choose not to see. He cannot see from birth. An unsaved person, it's not that he says, I don't want to see. He cannot see. Because, well, God says it twice in this passage. I think that's clear enough. But by the way, the moment the Spirit of God opens our eyes, draws us to the Father, saves us by His grace, the moment we're born again into God's family and we're given the new nature and we're given the Spirit of God to dwell in us, all of a sudden we can begin to see. Are you all listening to me? Some of you have been playing around with your children for years and years, and maybe your family members, and you've been trying to make them out to be a Christian, and they never get it. And every time they don't get it, you should be hearing, not a Christian, not a Christian, not a Christian. They don't get it. They can't. So you should be praying for God to save those people, open their eyes so they could see this. Because, hear me, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, the Spirit of truth leads you to understand and obey truth. So when you see a person over a period of time that never gets it and never obeys it, they're just simply saying, I'm not a Christian. Say, but Pastor, they're religious. I didn't talk about that. I'm talking about a person knowing and obeying truth. Look at the passages. 1 John 2:20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One. Ye, by the way, not one of us, all believers, and ye know all things. And that doesn't mean you know everything about modern science. It means you know all things necessary for salvation. That's part of being a Christian. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, you know all things necessary to be a Christian. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. All of these are plural in Greek. They're all ye's. It's impossible even in Old English to put ye in each one of these places. It abides in you, but that's you plural. And ye need not that any man teach you, that's ye plural again, but it's the same anointing, the Spirit of God, teacheth you of all things, referring to salvation, and is truth and is no lying, even as it is taught you, all of you, ye shall abide in Him. You see, the Spirit of God teaches us. John 14 says, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world, by the way, you better hear that, cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Again later it says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me. Jesus says in chapter 16, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. I have in your notes right under that. This is important to remember. This is primarily talking about the apostles, because these verses are primarily historical, referring to the apostles writing the Scripture. But this is secondarily about us. Folks, not that I know everything, but listen, if I'm born of the Spirit of God, hear me, folks, I'm going to put everything together in it. The leading of the Spirit is primarily three issues. If the Spirit of God dwells in me, the Spirit of God leads me to God. If the Spirit of God dwells in me, the Spirit of holiness leads me to be holy. If the Spirit of God dwells in me, the Spirit of truth leads me to understand, hear me, and obey the Scripture. And a person that never obeys or understands the Scripture over a period of time, there's like a sign. I'm not a Christian. Because they cannot understand. Do you not understand? I preached for 20 sermons on the subject of forgiveness and had people infuriated with me. All they were saying was, hear me, I cannot understand what you're talking about. Which means they cannot be a believer. There's only two kinds of people. And we need to get over the middle group. What we've done in America for years is we got a middle group. We got this group that they don't live like a Christian, act like a Christian, talk like a Christian, think like a Christian, obey like a... They don't have anything to do with Christianity, but they're saved. I'm not sure what that group is. Look at me. You're either lost, consumed by your fleshly, human, fallen nature, or you're somebody, not sinless, but somebody with whom God is saved, indwelt by His Spirit, which then enables you to know Him, which then enables you to become holy. And by the way, and if you don't want to become holy, He's got these rods and staffs. Oh, by the way, we missed a verse earlier. Did you know that? Let's look back at that verse. Would you? It's in your notes. I'm sorry that we missed it. You'll have to turn back to the front page. It's at the bottom there, close to the bottom. See where the Psalm 23 passage is? And the two. Look at the Psalm 51. David said this, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You know the story, folks. This is not new with me. I've never been a shepherd. We had animals, but never sheep. But in the ancient Near East, where David was a shepherd, if a sheep kept doing its own thing, shepherd had a way of dealing with that sheep. He would take that sheep, pick that sheep up, take one of the legs, probably the back leg, lift his leg up, take that leg, and that cured that sheep from running off. It didn't do any running for quite some time. Let me say something. If you're saved, you say, well, I'm not going to be holy. You've got to be kidding me. The Spirit of God isn't giving you an option. If you're a believer, you will be. He'll break some bones. He might have to use the rod on you. You say, what's the rod? I don't know and I don't want to know. And I definitely don't want to experience it. The Spirit of God leads us into truth. I sometimes hear statements like this, and I'm just going to close by saying this. Pastor, I witness as the Spirit leads me. I'm going to tell you this, the Spirit has already commanded you. You don't need the Spirit to lead you anyplace. Or you'll hear things like this, Pastor, I give as the Spirit leads me. I say again, the Spirit has already commanded you. Or I pray as the Spirit leads me. Well, the Spirit has already commanded you. Or I memorize and meditate as the Spirit leads me. The Spirit has already commanded you. You hear me. The Spirit of God dwelling in us leads us to God, leads us to be holy, and He leads us into truth. And by the way, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. He leads us to understand and obey this book. And I'm done with this. And there's only two groups. There's either groups that do or those who don't. Where are you at? Is the Spirit of God leading you? When you put your head on the pillow tonight, does the Spirit of God lead you to close your night with the Lord by praying and loving God and fellowshipping with the Father? Does the Spirit of God lead you to live tomorrow a different kind of life? Does the Spirit of God lead you to want to know the truth so you can obey it? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God to God, into holiness, into truth, they are the sons of God. And as many as are not led to do that, they are not the sons of God. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank You for Your Word. Seal these truths to our heart tonight. May we quit playing games. And Lord, may we start praying accurately for people, getting over the words, and realize we either do or we don't. And we don't do it on our own. We're incapable of doing it on our own. It is the Spirit of God that allows us to do so, that gives us the Abba Father relationship with you, that stirs us up to be holy, that leads us into truth, and is in the obedience to truth. We thank you for your leading. And Lord, we thank you that this leading of the Spirit is true in every country on earth, not just in America. Settle these matters and seal these truths tonight, I ask in Christ's name. Amen.